Welcome. This is our team of the season. For go, what formation are you going with, Danielle?
I am going with a 5-3-2 formation.
And I'm going with a 4-3-3 formation. So why don't you kick things off with your goalkeeper and explain your decisions.
Okay, this was for me an no-brainer. Ever since coming to this team, he has really went above and beyond expectations, especially where they were coming from in the goalkeeper area over recent seasons. So I'm going with Rupatricio of Roma.
Yeah, I think Mike Maignan is a good shout. I understand the argument, but between those two, the reason I'm going the same way, and again, no bias aside, but Maignan has Tomori in front of him. And I think, no disrespect to Roma's backline, because we know Rodri Banez, Chris Smalling, Matt Mancini, Zalowski, and Karsdorp are ballers. We know they can perform at a high level, and we've seen it this season, especially late second half of the season, especially. But if you look at what AC Milan has in front of Maignan, I think it's a much more appealing defense to be protecting you, especially with Tomori. They're one of the best players in the league. So I think you take that into account. You take into account the saves that Rupatricio has made for this Roma team to obviously be able to position themselves in the European spot. I think Rupatricio has been one of the best players in this league in general. I think he probably is the player of the season for Roma, even above Abraham and Pellegrini. So I'm going to go with Rupatricio as well. Who is your left wing back?
My left wing back is Cuadrado of Juventus. Obviously, he puts up the numbers for that in his own right in that position. He has always been a huge critical part of Juventus in crucial moments, and he's just an overall well-rounded player in his role where he's able to balance both the attack and the defensive side of things.
All right. My left back is, even though it's technically he plays a wing back, but I just couldn't, you'll see why I had to do it this way. I'm going with Ivan Perisic. Again, not the player he once was, but I think he really kind of turned it on this season. Been really crucial, especially in really big moments for Inter. Obviously, they couldn't win the league this season, but I think he's been as instrumental as anyone on that team, especially in a very attacking role on that side. But, you know, he hasn't given up too much defensively where it would be like a negative vibe around it. And I think Perisic, even at his age, has been really fantastic for Inter. And I think he has probably another 2 years of high productive years. But this year he was especially impressive, more so than the last couple of years for sure. All right. So you have three center backs. Is that right?
That is correct.
All right. Give me two of them and explain them.
I'm going to go with the duo from Inter. I have Skriniar and Bastoni. Obviously, it would have been nice to add De Vrij to this list, but unfortunately, he wasn't performing to the level we've been used to seeing him perform. And so I couldn't add him to the team of the season, but Bastoni and Skriniar continue to prove to be a huge part of Inter's defense. And coming through in the clutch when, especially near the goal. Yes, there have been times where things got a little dicey, but they still managed to hold it together for the most part. So I had to give the duo put the duo on there for that reason.
I agree with one of those. The other one is crazy to me, but No disrespect to Bastoni. He's an amazing player, but really, to me, hasn't kept up the levels of last season. My center back partnership is Bremen from Torino. I mean, you look at where they finished this season in comparison to last season. You look at the quality of their team; it's not very good. And you look at how well they defended in this. And I, Ivan Juric is a genius. We know this, but I'm again, when you have the name the Bulldozer, you're doing something right. And he's a physical nightmare for oppositions. You know, a lot of big teams have been on the wrong end of a Torino result. And I think he's the big reason why. You know, you look at that team, you see some pieces there, but he's definitively their best player, and he's someone that everybody wants to get their hands on. I'd love him at Roma. Inter will probably be interested. Milan will be interested. I think he's had as perfect of a season as you can at that position. Next to him, all right, I'm making us up. there's another center back that will be on my bench, but I'm going to go with Tomori from AC Milan. Again, just an excellent defender that has been so crucial to AC Milan's incredible you know, season, and you know, to have the security back there with Tomori and what he's done ever since he's come from England, he's been incredible. And you even could argue that he deserved to be a candidate for player of the year. That's how good he was for AC Milan. And obviously the AC Milan won a lot of close games down the stretch, and a defensive mastermind like him in that area, doing the job that he has done ever since he's arrived, I think has been just brilliant. So I'm going to go with Tomori. Who is your third center back?
I'm going to go with the classic and still provides a key role in their defense, Matthias De Ligt of Juventus. To me, he's one of the more kids. Obviously, you had Bonucci and Chiellini continuing to put a bunch of different Inter players and AC Milan players in their back pockets, but De Ligt has always also been right up there with them, and he has a huge future with that team still, and he's just overall a really well-rounded defender, so I put him on the list.
This spot, I don't think is debatable. I think it's less debatable than the goalkeeper, even though I think the goalkeeper is pretty straightforward. I mean, it's got to be Theo Hernandez. I mean, what he does in this AC Milan team going forward, with also having the energy to come back, and he may not be a perfect defender, but there's come a point in the last year that he's no longer putting his team in harm's way. And the second that has happened, he's taken his game to a whole nother level, because he has the ability to thrust forward without giving too much on the way back. And again, he's not a perfect defender. But he's not bad. He's not a liability like he used to be. He's improved in that area. And I think Theo Hernandez has been one of the best players in this league this season. And if you just look at the goal he scored against Sassuolo, that just shows what he does on the offensive side of it too. And again, not the greatest defender, but he's not doing anything particularly that is putting them in a bad space like he used to when he first arrived at AC Milan. He's cleaned that up. Again, not perfect, but not putting his team in harm's way, and he continues to be a sledgehammer on the attack as well. He's just a weapon at this point. But not now it's a weapon that doesn't seem to have a way to to shut down. And he's been, again, he's one of these. Milan has been fantastic season, and he's a big reason why.
And then my last person, otherwise known as my right wing back, I'm going with, obviously, this was an no-brainer, Ivan Perisic. Obviously, he's really stepped it up this season and has provided Inter with countless goals in crucial moments, especially like the one where he scored off a corner. And even after a direct free kick, after the corner, he just like found the back of the net with precision. So it wasn't even a question that he would not get put on my team this season.
All right. So I guess I'm going to kick off the midfield with Lorenzo Pellegrini. One of the most creative midfielders in the league this season when it comes to chances, when it comes to just pushing the ball forward and being that that player that Roma needed this season. The relationship between him and Tammy Abraham especially has been excellent, with Mkhitaryan in there too as well. The three of them and the way they're able to link up is, you know, incredible. Most free kicks in the league this season. We all know the one that he scored against Lazio is the one that everyone thinks to about in the derby. He's just been a game changer for Roma. You know, you look at the numbers are the numbers, 9 goals, 5 assists. It's a pretty good return for an attacking midfielder, but also very versatile in his role. And you know, he continues to see that this is the guy actually that has filled the shoes left by Totti and De Rossi. Many people thought it was Florenzi, then people thought it was other players in that area, but Pellegrini is the one that's going to push this team forward, and he's the most untouchable player in that entire team, and that includes Abraham as well. So just given his production and his leadership and all the winning intangibles that he's brought into this midfield. And you know, Roma's midfield is tough because of what he can do with the ball, his passion, his vision. You see the way, just in that Conference League final, he's not even score or assist. You see the control he has, and, you know, the way Roma's midfield operates largely dictates in how he creates things, and very versatile. And again, one of the best players in this league this season.
I will be starting off with one of my, left defensive midfielder. I will be going with.
Hold on. Are you doing two? You have three in the midfield, right?
That is correct.
Are the two defensive, one attacking?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Just making sure. All right, continue.
Okay. For me, this person, when they came into this team, really struggled and tended to be a huge liability, but has ever since stepped up when it mattered most, and they are a part of the Scudetto winning team this season. So I was going with Sandro Tonali.
All right. Bit of a reach, but I understand the meaning behind it. So I'm going to go with another Roma-based midfielder, the Serb, playing in the blue side of Rome. Serge Milinkovic-Savic continues to be one of the best midfielders in the league. You look at his numbers. I mean, numbers aren't everything, but the type of numbers this guy continually puts up year in, year out, he's not just one of the best midfielders in the league. He's probably a top 10 midfielder in the world. He's so attacking, so physically gifted. Set pieces, his danger. He's got a cannon from outside the box. Is good with his feet. He can find spaces inside to be effective. He's got good vision. The with him and Immobile together, I think they play really well. And I believe he has double digits in both goals and assists. You're not going to find too many midfielders in this league with his capabilities. Again, very attacking, doesn't have that defensive shape. But again, it's not his responsibility to be defensive. So because of this, it's very attacking hybrid system that you play him in, and he sits underneath the striker sometimes and is able to find space and just be a monster. And physically is a nightmare to deal with for many defenders, as we've seen many times this season.
Well, you pretty much summed up my central attacking midfielder quite well, because I also had Milinkovic-Savic in there. I mean, just as you just said, you pretty much took everything and explained it perfectly. But obviously the link up with Milinkovic-Savic and Immobile and just other team members, he is just a overall great attacking midfielder. He knows where to be. He just like has really good passing abilities along with dribbling. He knows, he just sees everything with pure precision. And with that, I mean, there was no way we weren't going to put him on the team. I mean, come on.
All right. Give me your, since I basically made your that argument for you, give me your third.
Okay. And the last central defensive midfielder is Locatelli. He continues to perform at a very consistent rate. Obviously, there were times where his performance wasn't up to standards, but overall, he continues to be a huge part of, I do believe it's Juventus, and my brain is serving me correct this
Yeah.
time.
Wow. I'm shocked. Good. I'm not going to, but Locatelli this season's been good, but also not as good as he was last season. But look, can I just ask you one question? I know this isn't a debate. But I'm because someone's being left out, I just gonna ask. Why does Brozovic not make your midfield?
For me, obviously, he was more of a rotational player this season, at least from what I've seen, where not he really. Had
go ahead.
What?
I was going to say kind of, but not really. I mean, he's played a large chunk of the season. And okay, I'm just gonna say this. He's been your best player this season, in my opinion. So no, again, fair play. Do your midfield how you want. I'm just surprised. That's all. That's why my voice went up, because I expected him to be there. That's all. All right. I guess I'll go. My third midfield is Marcelo Brozovic. I think between him and Savic, it's really close. But who's the best midfielder in the league this season? If you want to look at numbers, you can look at numbers. I don't care. The numbers he has aren't incredible, but the impact he had on this Inter team and the way Inter were pushing until the very end, and the way when they had all the control of this league this season, prior to AC Milan kind of pulling away, prior to that happening, when Brozovic was at his very best, that's when Inter was at their very best. And I had an AC Milan a friend of mine today say that he, as much as I hate them, this is what he said: I think Brozovic has been player of the year. So it just, the fact that so many rival fans I'm hearing are so complimentary of his season, I think that shows the impact he has had. And I think Brozovic has been, he's just been boss. I mean, he's one of these players that, not the sexiest of players. You don't watch Brozovic to be visually stimulated. You watch him for all the toughness of a defensive midfielder and what he does. And when you think of a defensive midfielder and what they're supposed to do and the way they operate, that's exactly who Marcelo Brozovic is. So for me, I'm rounding out with Marcelo Brozovic.
Do you want me to just, since you have three up in your attack, should I just get my two out of the way and be done with it?
Don't, just do one at a time. Wait, hold on. You have two, right? You have two strikers.
Yes.
Hold on a second. No, I'll do one of my wings, and then oh crap. All right, never mind. Sorry, I just forgot someone on my bench, but I just realized it now. On the left side, I'm gonna go with Berardi. This is as simple as it gets. 15 goals, 17 assists, top in the top five in goals, and I think number one in assists. The vision, especially from the wing in that spot, and when wingers are getting assists of this numbers, you know that their crossing is deathly accurate. You cannot find a better place cross from this position in the league. And he's been their man up. You know, I know they have Scamacca. I know they have Raspadori. I know they have all this stuff. They have other good pieces, but he is largely responsible for how well they're playing. And again, if you took him off the team, I think Scamacca and Raspadori still find ways to be effective. But I don't think that those two players in particular have the seasons they do without him, because the way he's placing the ball, not to mention all the goals he is scoring as well. And he comes up in big games and big moments. And, you know, Berardi's had an absolutely insane season. And one of the best I think he's ever had. And it just begs the question, you know, when is he going to get that next big move to take him to another level? And I think maybe he wants to stay there. It's totally possible. But I think he deserves a bigger move. And as much as I rag on this league, I think he would be an absolutely amazing signing for a top, one of those top Premier League teams, whether it's Chelsea, Man City, Liverpool. I mean, United isn't really, but United, Spurs, Arsenal. I think if he came into any of those teams, he would be a game changer immediately. And I think the season he's had goes very under the radar because he hasn't had a quiet season, but he hasn't been discussed. And I think he's been easily one of the best players in the league this season. And again, you want to look at the numbers, you can. And obviously, he's just had an incredibly insane season. And I originally did not have wingers I changed the entire formation just because of him, because I needed him in my starting 11, because I felt it did a disservice to him to not have him there.
Do you want me to just get my two strikers out of the way?
Let me guess. Abraham and Immobile?
Yeah.
All right, explain them.
Obviously, these two strikers have put up huge numbers. Immobile, I mean, he had one bad season, I think it was two seasons ago, but has since rebounded and has proven why he continues to be one of the top strikers in Italy. And the way he is able to link up with Milinkovic-Savic and follow through with goal opportunities that are given to him is astronomical. And then you had Tammy Abraham coming into this Roma team, not knowing a lick of Italian, but the way Pellegrini and him link up with the language barrier is insane, especially with the numbers that Abraham has put up. So the way he was able to break through that and just focus on just like communication through, like, whether it's probably just body language at that point, knowing where he needs to be and just following through with those opportunities is huge.
Yeah, but just to give you some context here. So at the beginning of the season, he didn't know any Italian. He's been learning it and he understands it. He doesn't speak it a lot, but he did one interview where he answered one question in Italian. This is obviously now he understands him easier because he understands the language. He can't quite speak it himself, but he understands the basis of the language. Obviously it's going to help him even more, but I think, he's been great obviously, but I think a lot of flowers deserve to go to Pellegrini too for helping him despite the barrier at the beginning of the season, because they were communicating. They found a way to be able to be on the same page. And again, once they got more on the same page, and when Pellegrini got injured, Tammy didn't really hit. And then when he came back, he really started rolling. And I think Pellegrini's influence on Tammy's been great too, as well. I was looking up, some Immobile stats from years ago. The year this, and I was trying to figure out what his best season was. And I know everybody says, "Oh, it's the season where he broke who tied the record," but he had the 15 penalties, and we know he was great that season. But if you look at, you remember that year where Icardi, Dybala, and Immobile were just crushing.
Yes, I remember that season. That was a dogfight, man.
Yeah. Icardi ended up with 29, Immobile had 29, and Dybala had 22. But the player of the season ranks that year was insane. Like, it was tight, it was close. Obviously, Icardi with Inter, Lazio with Immobile, and Dybala doing his thing with Juve. It was such a close player of the season. Probably closer than this one just because in terms of close net race, because there was three options, where this season there's plenty more than that. But during that, so the 29 goal season he had, I think he had 29-8. It was a year after Dzeko went for 29-12. Only reason I know this is because I kind of looked a bunch of stats up today. But that season, he was not the primary penalty taker for Lazio, so he took one penalty the whole season. So that campaign, he had 28 goals from open play, which is just insane. But I just remember looking at. Speaking of Immobile, Immobile's up top for me. If you want to look at stats again, He's number one in everything. He's number one in, he's number one in goals, number one in chances, number one in key chances, number one in XG. You look at all the statistical measure, he's been the best. He was my the player of the season for a reason, even though it could have gone numerous of different ways. He's just and again, without him or somebody else in that spot, I don't think Lazio finish in fifth. And again, that you get 27 goals from your goal scorer. That's twice as many as Abraham has in the league, and Abraham's been but knocked it out of the park. But you know, I just think you can't deny the guy. All right, on the other side, Rafael Leao, one of the best young players in the league this season, been so important to AC Milan. You look at what he has brought in terms of goals and assists, and the level of explosion he's gotten, and the way he's become such a big game player in so many different ways, and. His standard have escalated significantly since the beginning of all this, and he's progressing. His progression has been incredible, and he's been so important to that AC Milan team, and so on. So I think he's been fantastic as well. All right, who's the first person you're nominating off your bench?
Okay, I'm going to go with the bulldozer of Torino. Obviously, he was definitely on the list for the starting 11, but he is still he's a huge help to the defense, Torino, and if it wasn't for him in certain moments, this Torino team would have struggled, especially with the person who's kind of underperformed this season, which is Belotti, but I think it was mostly because of him leading the defense that they didn't finish the season worse than where they finished.
Yeah, totally fair. Obviously, I had my starting line. I'm going to go with your boy, Milan Skriniar. I mean, if Inter had won the league, he would have a serious, serious consideration for player of the year. Again, I wouldn't have gone a different way because I don't base my player of the year based on where they finished or I just do it based on totally individual performances. So I would have given it to Immobile anyways, but it would have been much more compelling at that point. Now he's been your rock back there. Again, I know you have Bastoni in there and he's had a great season. But for me, a little inconsistent, and Skriniar has been, and we know De Vrij has been, I don't want to be too mean, but he's been pretty bad this season. He's not been up to standard. He's been inconsistent. He's made mistakes. He's just not been the guy that he has been the last couple of years. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
To be honest, yeah. I mean, De Vrij, it's like he was doing so well, but then maybe he'll rebound next season, depending on if he sees in the league. But at this point, it looks like he may be on the outs. I don't know yet.
Yeah, but we've been saying that for 3 years.
Yeah, I know.
I know Conte really likes him, so I think you should be on guard for everybody because Conte is also in the Ivan Perisic sweepstakes as well. anyway, yeah. So I think Skriniar's just been just the aura of consistency in that back line. Because when Bastoni hasn't been at his best, when De Vrij is not performing, he's always stepped up and been the guy. All right, who's next on your bench?
And I'm just tallying how many subs I've done. I am going with Scamacca of Sassuolo. Obviously, him and Ras Fedori have this season been a match made in heaven for that team, especially with the numbers that Scamacca has put up. There were times where he was a little bit inconsistent, but for the most part, did a great job keeping everything together, especially under pressure. But also he gets that position on the bench.
All right, I'll do mine in a second. I have a question about him though. You ready?
Okay.
And I'm obviously this player right now is not the best version of himself, but in terms of that that ruthlessness in front of goal, Does I don't know. This might be crazy. Does he remind you of a more athletic Mauro Icardi a little bit? Because I was watching his game from a few weeks ago, and there's a lot of again, Icardi was more bulky, and Scamacca is very thin, fast, and athletic. But in terms of in the box, in dangerous positions, I don't know. I see a little similarities.
I would actually say that's a fair assessment with how, like, strong he is in front of goal, where a lot of players are, like, more reserved. But he just attacks the goal with, like, precision. So that actually does make sense. That's something I didn't notice, but thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, so the reason I say that is because it's different because Scamacca takes more touches per game than Icardi did because Icardi's thing was positioning himself in the box and bang. Now, Scamacca's positioning isn't as good as Icardi's was at that time. And now he's way better player because, you know, his situation. So Scamacca's more athletic. He takes more touches. He's not quite the finisher that Icardi was. But when he gets in those dangerous positions, it seems like 95% of the time he's converting. Like the goal he had against Inter. I just thought of this right now. The way everything he did was a classic Mauro Icardi, but with a header as a finish as well. But I don't know. This season I've been thinking about it, and I kind of see that comparison. Now, again, Scamacca is more athletic, and he's probably quicker, and he takes more touches. But because the way that team is set up, a lot of Mauro Icardi like movements, and especially in front of goal, I think he's massive. Anyway, I just want to throw that out there. Wait, who's on my bench? All right, sorry. I don't want to go. I don't want to exit out of the end. I'm going with Tonali, one of the best young players in the league this season. It's been fantastic, good movement, good defensively and attacking wise. He's been really special for AC Milan. We used to make fun of him saying he's the only reason he's being compared to Pirlo is because of his hair. And again, they don't play anything alike. So let's kill that now. But you're starting to see merit of the reputation that he had coming into the league. He had that twirling cross with Brescia. Because with Brescia, he was actually fucking phenomenal. That year with Brescia when they got relegated, he was out of this world. That was the year I did like the 50 players of the season or whatever, and he was on that list. The problem was his first season in Milan was unimpressive. But I think he's really starting to get back to that place. And he's got a lot of different types of qualities, and he's got a potential to be something really special years to come. And that whole he's going to Inter, no, he's not, might be a very that whole thing might have been more vital than we realized at the time. And so I'm gonna go with Tonali. Your turn.
I am going with Leao. Obviously, Leao was a huge part of Milan winning the Scudetto this season. I mean, just the way he was able to, like, help with both the midfield response. Wait, what position does he play? I'm trying to remember.
He plays on the right, I think, or the left. I forgot which side, but he's a winger. Technically, you could say he's a striker, but he plays too wide to be a striker. Yeah, so he plays. How he plays. So you know where Theo plays in Milan's attack or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So he would play if they were lining up, Leao would be in front of Theo, except way at midfield rather than in the back. Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm doing a good job of explaining that, but that's where he plays most of the time. So a lot of his work is right in front of Theo Hernandez. But obviously he drifts inside and is very explosive and moves around a lot. But that's where that's his area of expertise is just in that corner, right in front of Hernandez. Well, not right in front, but a bit in front of Hernandez.
Yeah, but the way he's been able to like facilitate in the attack and also if needed can drop back to more of a defensive role. He's just been a huge versatile part of this team, and he has helped like put up like good numbers. And so with that, he gets that position on the bench.
I'm going to go with, hold on. I'm thinking, Nicola Barella. He's had a really, really spectacular season. Again, I think he was outperformed by Brozovic in Inter's midfield this season, but still has been very important in big games and is one of the most consistent performers in the league. Not box to box. He's become more of an attacking type of player, but you know, his importance in Inter Milan can't be second guessed or understated, whatever you want to say. He's just been so important to them, and again, it's hard, especially with the midfield being as deep as it has been in this league this season, that he didn't make the starting 11, but you know, definitely a guy off the bench that you can look to be effective and trying to find that, just trying to find that thing to sort of push him on. And obviously you went with Lukaku last season for player of the season. I went with Barella. There's a reason I went Barella, because I think the influence he has on the attack is incredible, and I love his long passes he sends from the midfield all the way up top where both Lautaro is, and I think that skill alone is it seduces me a little bit. I just really like that part of his game. But overall, he's been a fantastic player this season. Not as good as last season, but you know, not far off.
Well, you and I got to stop thinking alike. I actually also went with Nicolò Barella. Obviously, he didn't have like a crazy season like he did last year, but he still put in like the hard work and will continue being one of our critical playmakers in the midfield. He may not have had the numbers and the statistics this season, but he has come through in critical moments when Inter seemed to be struggling and getting any momentum going. And he just continues to be a huge part of our midfield. And to be honest, without him, we would lack that playmaker mentality.
Yeah, a little bit maybe. Although, Hakan... all right, so I'm going to go with La Hoya, Paulo Dybala, been Juventus' best player this season. Again, there's not really a lot of Juventus players that can make this team, and they've just been rubbish, kind of. Not rubbish, because they really kind of turned it on, won a bunch of games, but I think they're just being their entire situation is messed up with Allegri, and now they're stuck with him. But Dybala, the way he's performed this season has been tremendous. And obviously Juventus are going to miss him around those parts. But, you know, we'll see him in the league with another color probably this coming year. But I think this season's been great. It's just his season's been ruined by the quality of the team and then not performing up to their standards. But he's been one of the best players in this league for sure.
So we were doing six field positions, right?
Yeah.
Now I have to decide. I have two more, but I'm trying to decide which one I'm going with. Okay, I've determined it. I'm going with I'm trying to remember if he plays, which team he plays for. You could probably help me with that. Hickey.
Wait, who?
Hickey, H-I-C-K-E-Y.
Oh, that's a great one. From Bologna, Aaron Hickey, the Scotsman.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great defensive player. Like I said, certain teams did not perform up to where we would usually see them, especially this Bologna team who is, like, underwhelmed. But it is players like him who has helped prevent, like, things from being worse than they could have been. So Aaron Hickey is a huge part to that defense, and without him, people would probably be scoring left goals left and right in center with how like terrible Bologna has been. But I mean, yeah, they're a great mid-table team, but it could have been worse if it wasn't for him being a part of it.
But it also could have been better if they're, again, I hate it because the coach has gone through so much, but if they had a different coach, I feel like they'd be doing, because we talked about this a few weeks ago. Talent-wise, Fiorentina and Bologna, Bologna has more talent than Fiorentina. I mean, you just go down the list with Musabaro, Anarovic, Hickey, Dominguez, Rafael Soriano. I mean, their goalkeeper is solid, their defenses. I mean, there's no excuse for them to have the season they did, but Aaron Hickey is a great shout. Because of the circumstance of the depth of this season, I couldn't bring him to the table. This table of the team of the season, but he would make some other team of the season list. So, good shout. I'm gonna go with I guess I'll get this one out of the way, because since I have one more left after this. Tammy Abraham, 15 goals this season. That's not true. 17 goals this season in the league. Been excellent. Again, I kind of explained why. With the Pellegrini explanation, but the link up between those two have been incredible. He's been good in front of goal. He's missed big chances, which is why I couldn't put him as player of the season. Is the same reason I couldn't put Lautaro player of the season. But those two, I think, had very similar seasons and both were very effective. But I think Abraham, the way he's come into this league and dominated this way so precisely, is incredible. And I know this isn't about other things outside of Serie A, but he's second top scorer in the Conference League, and obviously left with the trophy on Wednesday night. You know, having as good as a debut season as one can, with 27 goals in all comps. That doesn't matter for this conversation, but the 17 goals in the league, and obviously he's come up, he scored some big game-winning goals in big moments and has been pretty as consistent as you can get. I think he's the highest scoring Englishman this season, with Harry Kane just, I think, one goal behind. So when you're in the company with Harry Kane, you're doing good things with yourself.
And for my sub goalkeeper is Magnan, I probably botched that.
Magnan
of Milan. The reason why you couldn't make my starting 11 is you brought up a good thing with the team that Magnan has in front of him. Defensive wise, is far more than Rui Patricio, but he still, it would be a great option to have off the bench because of the way he was able to help this team get the Scudetto. I mean, there were times where things got a little suspicious inside the box, and he was just saving things left, right, and center. And he was very consistent this season. So with that, he would be a great option to have off the bench if they needed it.
Wait, don't you have one more field player left?
Wait.
Yeah, you do. Because I have two, because I have one more field player and a goalkeeper left.
Okay, now I have to quickly think, who am I putting?
Pellegrini.
Yeah. Why the heck? I mean, you can't have one Tammy Abraham without Pellegrini, can
you? Yeah, that's, you know, the thing is, that's the only reason why you can make whatever choice you want, but it just doesn't add up the same way. Because, again, Tammy's been great, but Pellegrini is constantly putting him in position to be great. You know, he's constantly putting him in. Again, Tammy has some goals where he did it a lot by himself. But if you watch the Torino game, go whenever you have time, go look at the highlights and the goal he had from open play, not the penalty. Look at the ball that Pellegrini gives him, and obviously Tammy beats like two defenders and scores. But Pellegrini in this Roma team is constantly putting balls in the right spots at the right time. He's one of the best passers in the league, and obviously, I think Pellegrini and Abraham kind of have to both be in the end here, or it doesn't kind of make sense. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
All right, Shit. Now I don't know what to do.
Tell us your last field player.
I just had to figure it out. It's one of four options.
Oh, boy.
Crap. You know what? I got love for Lautaro, and I think he had a great season. I got love for the Sassuolo boys, Scamacca and Raspadori. But this is the only reason I'm going in different direction, because I already have a lot of attackers in this team already, with Berardi and Liao, and then on the bench I have Abraham. I think I got to kind of go in a different direction. Like, I have Tonali, but I think I could do another midfielder on the bench. When I actually do an article about my team this season, I'm only doing five subs. So because I'm being gifted an extra sub, I'm going to go with, and again, not playing for a big team, but if you look at the impact this guy has had in a team that, again, finished in the top 10, but not one of the title chasers, not a Europa League team. Okay, I just changed my mind again. but my argument still stands. But I think you have to go with Mario Pasalic. And the reason I'm going here is because the other one I was thinking about is Antonio Barak. But Verona had a lot of other influence to their position, where Atlanta was a fucking joke. But by the way, I learned – because remember how I said, what if we win this, if we win the Conference League, then Atalanta will make Europe? Do you remember that?
Yes.
So it was actually the opposite. If we didn't win, they would have made Europe. But because we did win, they're not in Europe. I learned that yesterday, or sorry, Wednesday when I was watching the post game report. Yeah, I don't feel too bad for them. They did this to themselves. Anyway, the point is, Zabata was out for not the whole season, but a large portion of the season after starting really well. Luis Muriel went from 25 goals the year before to like 11. And again, Muriel is a natural goal scorer. That's not a huge number for him. That's standard from that position. They brought in Jermaine Boga. He did absolutely nothing. You look at all the pieces that are there. They needed someone to step up. And again, Lost Gozens went to Inter, who I've seen maybe once in the Inter shirt, which is a strange thing, spending $35 million on somebody and playing them in like a very small amount of games.
Yeah. I think it was because he was, when we bought him, he was initially injured. So he was like, the reason why he barely did anything, mostly substitutions, like late in the season, was because of the injury. If he was healthy and ready to go, then it would have been a whole other story.
Okay. I gotcha. I saw him maybe a few times, and it was never as a starter. But again, you paid almost the same for Carrera, and he's and obviously he is not going to be there. He was also injured a lot. He was also knocked up. It happens. Anyway, they lost all these pieces. I have a few questions about something else at the end of this I'm going to ask you, but I just came to my head for a second. You look at sort of all of that stuff. Mario Pasalic for Atalanta steps up with all those injuries, with all the concerns, with nobody at their best, and Mario Pasalic was at his best, and that wraps up. All right, so I just want to ask a few things. I just thought of it real quickly. Carrera scores twice in his last game. Is it the deal with him? Is it a option, or is it a mandatory buy? Do you remember?
Unfortunately, that I cannot recall.
All right, so let me just ask this.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I can't remember.
Or I don't know if it was an option or it was an obligation. We'll see. But based on that last performance, and he had that great performance at the beginning of the loan, and then he had the game against Sampdoria. He was incredible. When he's healthy, do you think he's shown enough to suggest that he could be a bigger part regarding this team if healthy? Or how do you land on the Carrera situation?
To me, he's severely underwhelmed, but obviously it isn't his fault because he's been injured. But, I mean, when he has played, whether it was like as a starter or as a substitution, he has kind of put in the work where it was needed and came through in certain situations. So I think if it doesn't become a huge liability where he's like injured majority of the season, I think he could start improving in this squad and be a huge part. But like I said, that's only if he stays healthy. But if he healthy, then I think you're just going to get what we pretty much saw from him this season. Just like a couple good performances and then just nothing because of him being out. So
you can, how about you buy them and then give them to us? I mean, our injury situation has improved so much since last season.
And I don't know. From player?
Well, there was a lot of injury prone players in our team that were not injured this season. So we know how to keep our players fit. But I like him a lot as a player, and Lazio are never going to sell to us. So the only way for me to get Carrera at Roma is for you to buy him and then sell him to us. Because Roma and Lazio do not negotiate transfers.
Yeah, of course.
We do youth transfers sometimes, but in the youth sector sometimes a player will go from Rome, Lazio, Rome. But once they're on the first team, we don't really negotiate. We kind of negotiated for Pedro, but we didn't sell him to Lazio. We let him leave for free, and Lazio signed him. So it wasn't actually a negotiation from one club, one club to the next.
By the way, I have a question for you.
Yeah, what's up?
So out of the other four subs, was it one of them Bologna?
Other four what?
Remember how you say you had like four options for your subs?
No, there wasn't no Bologna in it.
Oh, God.
I mean, I could have, but I was thinking Martinez, Barak, Pasalic, and Scamacca Raspadori.
I have to add my banter or else I feel weird if I don't.
It's like, oh, God. All right. Again, not confirmed yet. I don't know the information. It's just the guy who has all the sources hasn't spoken about it as a confirmed deal. So right now it's just speculation. But apparently, Roma and Inter are having a contract offer battle with Hendrik Mkhitaryan. We don't know if this is going to happen, but just for the sake of it, what would you think?
Okay, it's been a while since I've said it. Of course, it wouldn't be a recording session if there wasn't a technical difficulty.
Actually, there's been a lot before since.
But anyway, you were talking about the Mkhitaryan.
Yeah. So, again, you know my questions are always complicated. Do you like the move, and how does it fit? Use English on that one, baby English.
Okay. Do I like the move? It's an intriguing idea, especially since Mkhitaryan, when he's not injured, he actually is a really good key piece to have.
And he's not injured that often. Injury of the season. So, anyway, continue.
So, I mean, in general, he usually, majority of the time, is very healthy and would be a critical piece. I mean, remind me of his position again.
So, this is, I think, the tricky part. He plays a similar role to Hakan Çalhanoğlu. You can put him out wide and is effective. You can even put him in a central role, but most of the time he plays a cam or a false nine underneath the striker.
So with that, I would probably play him as a false nine, just so we have that extra body up near these strikers, so there isn't as much distance. So I think that's how I would play him. But, I mean, that is the tricky part. Where would we put him? But I think as a false nine would be a good idea. So I would probably play him there. But it is an intriguing deal. But obviously we'll see what happens with this one, because it is, as I like to say, it's nice and juicy.
So Inter have offered a contract. I think 1 year with an extension of another. Roma have also offered a contract. So basically, both clubs have put their Mourinho would like to keep him, but Inzaghi would like to get his hands on him as well. So it just depends on what he wants to do. Again, if he goes to Inter, I'm not gonna, you know, it's almost to the point where anybody that's on this team, unless they go to Lazio, okay, that's not true. I won't be upset. If certain play, there are certain players on this team, if they went to Inter, I would be fuming. So obviously, you know the obvious ones, Abraham, Pellegrini, but even like people like Mancini or Ibanez, I would be beside myself if they went to Inter. I would be so angry, but I think
talk to me for the next 5 years.
You'd be fine. I'd just be upset. The reason being, especially Mancini, if I see a picture of Mancini in a Photoshop Inter thing, I would be so, that would even make me upset by itself. And the reason is Mancini kind of symbolizes the Roman culture and what it means to play for Roma. So it's not because of his ability, it's because of his character and his personality that kind of goes with the Roma team. But Mkhitaryan will make a decision. The interesting part about this is you would have Carrera, Hakan Çalhanoğlu, and Hendrik Mkhitaryan all kind of play the same position. Obviously, Carrera can play as a second striker or just a striker. But Hakan Çalhanoğlu and Mkhitaryan, I don't know if they can play together. But the reason it's intriguing is Hakan Çalhanoğlu is someone who does a lot with the ball, but it's inducing to his own creativity and his he's making an influence with the ball at his feet, where Mkhitaryan is a playmaker, meaning he would get more opportunities to others. But at the same time, Çalhanoğlu is a better player than Mkhitaryan, but Mkhitaryan is a better playmaker than Çalhanoğlu. So if this happens, I think it'll be very interesting to see how Inzaghi kind of handles this situation. All right, let's see. Two more and then we're out. I'll ask you a couple weeks ago, just while I was in the park looking over the city. Luis Suarez is out of contract at Atletico Madrid. Interested teams are Inter Milan, Sevilla, Aston Villa, and return to Barcelona. But I seriously doubt that happens. Just theoretically speaking, what would you think of that deal?
Nine yet. No. I mean, Luis Suarez is a great striker, don't get me wrong. But the problem is, when you already have an Inter team that is already stacked in that area, I mean, you got Carrera, Martinez, possibly Dybala, and obviously...
Dybala's not a striker, though.
Well, yeah, that's, well, I keep screwing up positions, but that's normal. What else is new? But yeah, in general, we already have a stacked attack, so it would be very hard. So it would be like we would have to sacrifice somebody.
What if Jekyll leaves?
If Jekyll leaves, then that is a possibility, but it looks like Jekyll will still be on for one more year at least. But Alexis Sanchez 100% is out the door at this point, but still, you would have Carrera Martinez and, of course, Jacko. So it's like we already have so many options that to me it wouldn't make sense for the long haul.
Piemonte and Esposito also.
Yeah, I swear if Pinamonte and Esposito go out on another loan, I'm going to put them on
the top. Esposito's probably going to go on another loan. I think at this point it's playing. Piemonte should just say play me or sell or just sell me somewhere else. Obviously, I think Empoli would like to hang on to him.
Seriously,
if possible.
Sell him to Empoli. You're like, get him off the books if you ain't going to use him.
Would you do it for like 15?
I would say maybe like, yeah, between 15 to 17 would be fair.
Yeah. All right. The last one is, and we'll eventually our show is just going to be transfer rumors, USA. But Angel Di Maria has left PSG, obviously last week. Juventus are the likely favorites to land the Argentine. How do I phrase this? So him to Juventus. What are your thoughts on that move, and do you think it gets them any closer to you guys or the Milan teams? I'll just say.
I mean, what do I think of the move? If it's a good move for them, because it provides more depth, especially if like Dybala and all, certain other key attacking pieces leave, but. Does it get them anywhere closer? It is possible, but obviously with Milan and Inter always on the move to upgrade to new players and stuff, I think it would end up being way more closer than we think. So,
what if it's Di Maria and Pogba?
But like, if you had to pick one to go to Juventus,
no. So there is a world where both of them will be on Juventus. If they get both of them, again, you and Milan are in a prime position. You're in a good spot. You're going to spend with the summer. You're going to upgrade. I don't know if it'll be Dybala or not. That's kind of, I think it's 50-50 Roma Inter at this point. Because unfortunately, Inter doesn't have Francesco Totti to recruit him, who is his idol. But so again, you have a good shot at getting him. I think we have a good shot at getting him if certain things fizzle. But so we don't know what's happening with him. But if they were to bring in Di Maria and Pogba both, do you think that would be enough? Because I think Inter and Milan are both in a really good position. So you're in the ideal spot. But does that make it any more uncomfortable? How does that feel, you know, going into next season with the teams that you guys both have?
I think at that point, it would make it way more close. It would be like if you take – obviously, you're taking Napoli out of the equation.
Yeah, they're not making the chances next year.
Yeah. So at that point, for the three-dog race, it's going to be Milan, Inter, and Juventus. And I think it's would be fairly close just because all the squads would be stacked from top to bottom and you would have great quality pieces in each team. And so it'll be a little bit terrifying in a world if that occurs because it's just going to be that much closer and much more, as I said, juicy to watch.
Yeah, I think it depends on what version of Pogba you're going to get. But I think fairly well that you two are positioned well because Again, I just don't trust the coach at Juventus. And that's what it kind of comes down to. You know, the 3 years with Cristiano Ronaldo, the Allegri year, they walked the league and stuff, but there was dysfunction within that thing. And now no Ronaldo, nobody to save you kind of. And they're loaded with Vladovic and stuff, but as long as he's there, I just speculate that they're not going to be as terrifying as they may appear on paper. And what will they do to, again, Pogba and Di Maria are going to require high wages. So how are they going to, you know, manage that from a financial point? But as long as Allegri's there, we'll see. But then you have Inter, you have AC Milan, you have Juventus. I think Mourinho's Roma is going to be firing back after winning a trophy this season. Maybe they get Dybala instead of Inter, and then Inter go and get somebody else. I don't know, because the reports that are being thrown out with the Dybala, there's some saying that Inter in the lead, there's others saying that Roma have the advantage because of the Francesco Totti thing. It's just going to kind of depend on a lot of things, but yeah, anyway, it should be a great season next season. And obviously, conference final was this Wednesday, Rome won, and Frankfurt won the Europa League, and tomorrow will be the Champions League final, and so on and so forth. So these were our team of the seasons. I would win 7-5 on aggregate. Actually, I have no idea.
Hey, weren't you supposed to create these teams in FIFA that simulate the damn thing?
I'm going to. Just give me some time.
Yeah. I'll probably end up getting spanked, but we'll see.
No, I actually think they're pretty close. I think
if I end up winning, it'll be a freaking miracle. I'll actually win a football.
I think. Where is the big separator? I think if we're just being honest here, I think my midfield is where I would win it. I think your defense and my defense are pretty similar type of players, quality. You have two top attackers on on top of in your striking partnership. I have one great striker with two outside players that are very good. So I think the midfield, and we have similar midfielders, I have Brozovic, a Savic and Pellegrini, and obviously the three that you have are all also very good. But I think that the playmaking of Pellegrini and the goal scoring threat of Savic and the protection of Brozovic would be hard to mess with, especially Locatelli, who's had a good season there, but still. But actually, generally speaking, I think in a real life scenario, I think it'd be very close.
Well, you have fun creating the both teams and then simulate that thing and just get back to you with the score.
I will when it happens, but right now I'm being introduced as a new manager. You didn't see.
And I'm actually getting promoted to being Inter Scout Manager. Okay.
I don't think I need your help, to be fair.
Man, no one need my help. Well, wait.
All right. Thanks for playing. See you later.
Thanks for playing. Later, everyone.